a Norfolk man of the church and author who died 200 years ago, observed at the time that if a countryman from the shores of the Wash had met another from the banks of the Orwell, they would have understood each other perfectly well. But if they had been joined by a third man from north of the Humber, they would have found him incomprehensible. Neither would he have understood them. The Reverend Robert Forby, 1759 to 1825, who wrote a vocabulary of East Anglia, was born at Stoke Ferry, went to school at King's Lynn, and became a fellow of Caius College, Cambridge, and then returned as clergyman to the same district from which he sprang and spent the rest of his life as rector of Fincham. He is just one of many great characters from all walks of life, written about by Jonathan Mardle, Eric Fowler, in his delightful book Broad Norfolk, published by Wensum Books and edited by George Nobbs, which was published several times in 1973 because it kept selling out. And it was brought to life by the brilliant cartoons of his collaborator, Joe Lee, who illuminated the Eastern Daily Press with his political cartoons. As the author wrote, "My first acknowledgement must be to the Eastern Daily Press, for which I have written for more than 40 years, thus gaining the experience of Norfolk, on which much of this book is based. Turn the pages of this book, which become more important as the years roll by, and we meet some great Norfolk characters, and by the stories are brought alive the illustrations. This book is devoted to our county, the people, the places, and the way we spoke and our lives lived." And in the final chapter he asks, "Can broad Norfolk survive? I should like true Norfolk to survive because of its expressive vocabulary and vivid turn of phrase, so much more vigorous and honest than the gobbledygook of the bureaucrats and sociologists with which we are nowadays so smothered that the language itself is in danger of losing its meaning," writes Jonathan. The English country dialects, if they do indeed remain alive, may well become the last repository, outside of old books, of good, plain English. And yet I feel uncomfortable when people talk of preserving broad Norfolk and organise competitions in speaking dialect. I ask myself whether when a dialect becomes so self-conscious, it can possibly remain a genuine dialect and not an affectation, he says. As time moves on and the way we live our lives in this high-tech world continue to change apace, books like this, which was the third in the Broad Norfolk series, become more important. And goodness knows what Mr. Mardle would think of the gobbledygook we hear today.